Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Wei Peng, and this is joint work with John Six Degrees from MIT. Okay, so I'll first give you a very brief background about decentralized detection and the particular problem that we're looking at, and then we'll talk about the results in a two-message feedback architecture in which sensors allowed to send two messages to the fusion center, and then we'll talk about the feedback architecture, the so-called one-message configuration. That is where all sensors are only allowed to send one single message to the fusion center. Then we'll conclude with some remarks. Okay, for a very brief overview about what is decentralized detection. Basically, we have multiple sensors, each of them making its own measurement. And then there's a fusion center, and all the sensors will send a quantized version of their measurements to the fusion center. So in most engineering applications, we talk about this network, we usually talk about a wireless network. So there's always a capacity constraint on the channel between the sensor and the fusion center. So that's why it's quite common to impose that the quantization function has to map the measurement to a finite alphabet. Although this is not really required in our problem setup, but to just for discussion sake, we will assume this type of quantization where you are mapping to a finite alphabet. And what we are looking at is a binary hypothesis testing problem whereby the sensors in each sensor, the sensor measurements are coming from two different hypotheses. So we know the underlying distributions, and the fusion center is trying to make a final decision based on the quantized measurements from the sensors on which is the correct hypothesis. So the main problem to solve in this case is trying to find the optimal strategy, okay, all these quantization functions that will minimize some error criteria. So in this work, we'll just concentrate on looking at the Bayesian error probability. So we want to minimize the Bayesian error probability. And this setup has basically been studied, you know, over the last 20 years by many authors. It's very intensively researched, because there are many different formulations, many different things that you can consider in this decentralized detection. What is common is that we assume that the measurements, okay, observations or sensors are independent given condition on either hypothesis. So this is mainly because it becomes an NP-hard problem if we don't have this independence assumption in the general case. Although I must add that under some special cases when you have correlated measurements, but under some special distributions, you are able to find optimal solutions. So the main problem that we are going to look at is consider the question of having feedback in this decentralized detection architecture. So by feedback, we are going to define it in a very generalized, very general sense. So the feedback that we are looking at is basically some or all sensors have information about some or all other sensors' messages. So the most typical way that people understand feedback is in this kind of example, where you have sensors sending initial quantized measurements to the fusion center, and the fusion center is going to make a preliminary decision. And then it's going to broadcast everything back to all the sensors, and then the sensors will send a second message, making use of its own observation as well as the extra information that it now obtains, right, from the fusion center. To form a second message before sending back to the fusion center. So this will be a more typical kind of feedback that people will understand. But we will be looking at so not only this is what we call the two message configuration. We also do at so called one message or daisy chain configuration later on. But the thing to note here is that the sensor messages are not independent anymore, because now the second message is going to depend on information that actually combines, that correlates all the sensor measurements over here. OK, Okay, and we want to answer the question of how to design all these quantization functions in an optimal way. Okay, what are the optimal error exponent and the strategies to do that? Okay, so yeah, so basically the problem that people that we want to solve is to try to find all these optimal quantization functions to minimize your error probability. Okay, we know that using likelihood ratio quantizers is the optimal thing to do, so no surprise here. And this is actually shown by Hacking and Vasny in 96. So they provided so-called person-by-person optimal solutions, whereby if you fit the quantization functions of all the other sensors, okay, except for the one that you're interested in, you fit all the rest, and then you can find the optimal quantizer for that particular sensor that you want to optimize. Okay, and you can do this iteratively. Right? So it's like a Gauss-Seidel process and to find the optimal solution to convert to the optimal solution at the end. Okay, but unfortunately, there's no closed form solution, and we don't really know what is the performance, the actual performance, analytical performance of particular architectures. Okay, so all this will depend on numerical computation. So it's not a surprise. Okay, so even without feedback, we know that to find these optimal quantizers is a difficult problem. Okay, even if we assume that the sensors are making IID observations. Okay, it turns out that the optimal thresholds, okay, so basically we know that all the sensors will be using likelihood ratio quantizers. So basically you want to find the optimal thresholds, okay, of these likelihood ratio quantizers. And the thresholds can be different. Okay, basically to find these thresholds, you need to solve a system of couple equations, and it turns out that thresholds can be different even with IID assumption. So that is if you want to find the exact optimal solution. Okay, so it makes the problem very intractable, and it's difficult to compare the performance of whether if you have feedback or you have no feedback, what's the difference in the performance, or if you want to compare performance across different kinds of network architectures. Okay, so that's why that's the motivation for looking at this so-called error exponent. Okay, so what we want to do is instead of trying to find the exact optimal solution, we want to find strategies that that meet. Okay, so this error exponent is a negative quantity, so we want to find optimal strategies that minimize this error exponent or maximize the absolute value of this error exponent. Okay, so for the parallel configuration without feedback, we see that the optimal error exponent is given by finding the quantizer that minimizes this churn of exponent over here. Okay, and from this solution, we see that it's actually optimal for all the sensors to use the same quantizer, okay, to quantize their measurements before we send it back to the fusion center. Okay, so now the question is, if we use the same kind of framework, how are we going to do at this problem of feedback? Okay, how would the error exponent differ from the case of this parallel configuration without feedback? So the first architecture we are looking at is the two-message architecture, which I already discussed briefly just now. So again, what is happening here is the first message sent by each sensor, okay, so it's encoded, it's quantized by some quantization function, and the value is sent to the fusion center. So now the fusion center is going to calculate a feedback message. So this can be a very general feedback message, which consists of if you are sending a feedback back to sensor K, so what you need to do is you only need to take all the measurements, all the messages from all the other sensors, use some sort of function to form a message and feed back to sensor K. Okay? Because sensor K already knows its own measurement, so it knows already know YK, so it doesn't need, you don't need to consider that inside this feedback function. And the second message is going to be formed by each sensor, again, using their own measurement. Okay, so this measurement doesn't change. They make only one single measurement, each sensor. And Also based on the strong information that the fusion center has provided to form a second message before passing it back to the fusion center. And finally, the fusion center will make a final decision based on all the messages, all the first messages as well as the second messages, okay, to make the final decision. So there are two types of feedback that we can look at. The first one is the so-called full feedback, whereby you basically you don't quantize any of the information. The fusion center doesn't compress any of the information it has, so it sends the full information back to the all the sensors. It's more like a theoretical setup because in actual practical situation, we won't be able to be doing to do that because what we are doing is we are increasing the number of sensors. Right? So this is for comparison as a theoretical setup. And the more practical case is when you have a restricted feedback where your each of your feedback information is actually compressed again to some finite alphabet. Okay. Important thing here is that we are assuming the fusion center is going to retain all these values, all the values of the first messages, okay, instead of retaining just a compressed version. So this is the first result that we have for the two message architecture. And it turns out that actually the error exponent under the full feedback case is the same as the error exponent under the restricted feedback case. And both of them are the same as the error exponent under the parallel configuration without feedback. So the parallel configuration error exponent we are talking about here is when we do add, the each sensor is actually allowed to send two messages here, or you can think of this as having a single message but with the double the number of bits. So if originally you constrain your quantization functions to have only a alphabet size of D, so down here the parallel configuration will be able to send a message with alphabet size of 2D. Okay. So what this result says is that feedback is essentially not useful when we are talking about error exponents. Probably it's a bit unintuitive. Maybe I can try to explain this. When we first did this result, I also didn't quite expect that feedback actually doesn't improve the error exponent. But you know, as with most results, when after seeing it, then you say, oh, I have some intuitive explanation for that. So in this case, what is happening is, although your feedback in a finite, when you have finite number of sensors, your feedback can improve your error exponent, can improve your detection performance. What happens is that improvement over the parallel configuration is not increasing exponentially fast. So when we're talking about error exponent, we're talking about how things behave exponentially, whether the error is decaying exponentially fast. What we see is the feedback improvement is not at the same exponential scale as the main error itself. So that's why even though when you're doing the full feedback, you are not going to get any extra gain in terms of the error exponent. So in terms of the proof, so I'm just going to go through a few steps of the proof. So the first thing to note is that we know that the full feedback case is obviously going to be better than the restricted case, right? Because in the full feedback case, we are feeding back the full information, okay? So in this case, the full feedback case, you are able to simulate the restricted feedback case at each of the sensors by just taking the full information and compressing them. And then under the restricted feedback case, it's obviously better than the parallel configuration because in this case, we can just ignore the feedback and achieve the same performance. So what we really need to show in this case is that the full feedback cannot perform as well as the parallel configuration. And the way to go about doing this is using the theory of large deviations. So we have, from the Kramer bound, we have a lower bound that depends on this log moment generating function as well as the second derivative of the log moment generating function. So what we need to do is actually the main step is to try to bound this the value of this derivative. So when we have IID observations, this is actually quite easy to do, but when our observations are no longer IID, because The second message is actually correlated with each other. Okay, so that would be this is the main problem down here that we need to bound. So if we do at this log moment generating function, since we are talking about likelihood ratios, right, this log moment generating function has this form, it's a convex curve that goes takes the value 0 at 0 and 1. What we have is this result that says that if I look at each point on this curve, okay, this curve is going to change when the number of nodes increases. Okay, you will get sharper and sharper. What happens is if I look at fix one slope on the curve, okay, and I look at the second derivative at the point that has that slope t, then these are second derivative cannot increase faster than polynomially. Okay, so the trick is actually involves nothing more than applying Jensen's inequality at intelligent places in the proof by trying to bound the second derivatives, the first and second derivatives with the unquantized versions of the whatever function that you are trying to calculate. Okay, so once we have that, then once you can bound the second derivative, then you see that this square root function will go to zero if you take the one over n log on both sides. Okay, and you are left with this. And again, we need to find a lower bound for this log moment generating function, which can be easily done. Okay, it's not too difficult here. And indeed, this log moment generating function can be shown to be lower bounded by this error exponent from the parallel configuration. Okay, so one important assumption that we were making is that the fusion center retains the full information, the messages, the first set of messages. So what happens if it has only limited memory and can only retain a compressed version of this set of messages? And it turns out that this is actually a difficult problem. Okay, Serabi, Pamako in 92 use a method of types approach, but because it is a method of types, you need to assume finite alphabet observations, identical quantization function, and so on. Okay, to show that in this case, is the feedback also doesn't help. Okay, but it's still an open problem that in the more general scenario, whether these how does the feedback contribute to the error exponent? So in order to kind of try to gain some insight into that problem, we do a related problem, the so-called one message architecture, whereby now we divide the sensors into two groups of sensors. So the first group of sensors is sends the first message to the fusion center, and fusion center feeds back this compressed, either the full information or compressed version to the second group of sensors. Okay. So in this case, if the architecture is actually equivalent to this kind of architecture, chain-like architecture. That's why we call it a daisy chain architecture. Okay, where you have first the messages which can be compressed over here, and then before it's being fed back to the second group of sensors. Okay, so again, we consider two types of feedback: the full feedback, okay, where there's no loss in the information that is being fed back, and the restricted feedback case. And again, we have this inequality, which is immediate. So in the full feedback case, the full feedback error exponent has to be at least as good as the restricted one. Okay, but in this case, we need to compare with the tree configuration. So in this case, if we don't have any feedback to the second group of sensors, basically we are getting a tree. Okay, so a reasonable thing to do is to compare this with the error exponent obtaining the tree. So, okay, again, if we have full feedback, the error exponent is same as the parallel. But if we have restricted feedback, in this case, one interesting thing happens is that your restricted feedback is strictly worse than your parallel configuration. Okay, but it's bounded by your tree error exponent. So in some cases, this restricted feedback error exponent can be the same as the tree, and in some cases, which we can find particular examples to show that the restricted feedback is actually worse than the 3 case. So the error exponent in this case under for the restricted feedback is actually given by this this expression over here. If you do at this one, this is actually what is happening here is the first group of sensors is going to use the same quantization function gamma, and then at the first stage, the fusion center is compared the received likelihood ratios with a threshold T. Okay, before you send before you compress the first group of information, okay, first group of sensor messages into a preliminary decision 0 or 1. So in this case, if the second group of sensor receives a 0 from the fusion center, it's going to use a different quantization as compared when it's receiving a 1. Okay, but in either case, the second group is also going to use the same quantization function, okay, which depends on the feedback message. Okay, so in this case, under we also provide some special conditions whereby your restricted feedback error exponent is the same as your 3 error exponent. Okay, so in conclusion, okay, the take home message is this. We have looked at binary hypothesis testing, the binary decentralized binary hypothesis testing problem, and we show that feedback in the 2 configurations that we talked about does not improve the error exponent, but that is because the fusion center has access to the full information that is available. So one insight that you can get from this is since memory is cheap, right? The performance gain due to feedback may not justify your increase in the communication cost when you do the feedback. But we see that feedback can actually improve performance in the restricted feedback one message or daisy chain architecture. Okay, and we provided a characterization for the error exponent. So before I finish the talk, let me leave you with one open problem.
You're really over the
okay.
Yeah, maybe let's thank the speaker.
Okay, so yeah.